Good morning. Those of you who are listening to this on a podcast or on the website, you missed a bunch of singing people this morning. All the good singers came today. They really are. Maybe I'll get them to sing a little bit more. Today I pick up in part number two of what we're calling Pivotal Kingdom Truths and the Birth of a Ministry today. We need to hear these truths. I we make a mistake if we read these things and see these only as disjointed history stories. We are wise if we bring the application to ourselves. If you can read and be unmoved, you got to dig a little bit deeper. If you can walk away from it and not have it touch your heart, you need to dig a little bit deeper and spend a little bit of time. You know, I used to tell the story a lot of times. I don't quite feel the way I used to feel. I don't have the victory I used to have. And I remind him of the story that when Jesus was a little boy and he was in the temple, and they both left on separate mules at separate times, and now they realize when they met up, where you have Jesus? No, I thought you had Jesus there. And there's a really cool word in there that says they had to go back to where they left him. And before that, it even said they presuming that he was with them. And a lot of people presume because they're going through the drill there. That's not the message. It's free. And you got to go back to where you left him. You got to go back to where he was and let this be the season. Are you ready to stand to your feet? If you have the word in your hand, get ready. If you have the word on your phone, get your phone ready. But everybody on your feet, we make the affirmation for the brand new year, and we will continue it until we hear don't make it anymore. Ready? Put it up high. Make it loud. Make it strong. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Say it again. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. I just feel led to encourage you people. Some of you are going through real struggles today, and this is where your answer is. This is where you're, and over and over and over again, the word is strong. Please be seated right now. We must know this statement. We must know this word more than ever before. We must be sure of what we are saying. Sometimes people say things and they're not really sure. They've not spent the time and their roots are not strong enough. And then when the wind blows, they run around in circles saying, oh my God, oh my, oh my, oh my. But we not only do we have to know it, but on the parts and on the situations that we do not quite understand. I think we heard that encouragement from both ladies. In the parts in which we do not understand, we must trust him and we must trust this word. Because in the natural, the forecast is bleak. The forecast is bleak. The report is, the future is not good right now. The attack on anything that smacks on tradition, the traditional family. I won't go in. I have a few things I'll say, maybe more, maybe next week. But I'm looking at things right now, and it's bleak. It's bleak. It's bleak if some of these crazy people, more of them get in charge. We need, and I'm talking about things that you shouldn't even have to be thinking about. Things you shouldn't even have to think about right now. And we're not ashamed anymore. I wanted to honor USA Today this week that gave the Woman of the Year honor to a transgender Minnesota state representative. There's something bleak there. Don't give me your scriptures. Let's just talk about normal things. We need the word, and when you hear this gets louder all the time. I'm very, very concerned about the world today. You know I am. You know I'm very concerned about what we see in the world today, and we see things like that. And if we don't have the word in us, we're going to go crazy. We're going to go crazy, and we need to. It's the thing that we sing so much. All other ground is sinking sand. Unless we have the hope of this word. And we'll look at things, and after a while, after a repetitive thing, people start believing some of these things right now. I'm really concerned about our world today. The world's a time bomb. This week you just saw a meeting that hadn't taken place in 100 years. When the president of China meets the president of the Soviet Union, and they walk away and they make the statement, we are the ones that are driving the changes together. You don't figure in those changes. The Church, the body of Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, doesn't figure in those plans right now. And yet in our world, in our nation, we're pandering, skipping, and sashaying about. China is teaching kids quantum physics and calculus. We're telling kids about gender pronouns. By the way, let me just encourage you. A child of God has no business putting his gender pronouns on any of his social media thing. That's all I'll say about that. Look at the picture and you'll know. As I said last week, we are in a very huge, I never thought I'd see the day moment. But we're seeing it as the old quote was, live and in living color. There is a spirit of confusion. There is a spirit of Babel that is growing more and more. We'll be talking about the spirit of Babel in the weeks to come. What basically, how do you say that in one sentence? That is man's plan to bypass God. Got it? That is man's plan to bypass God. The very definition of confusion. We're the ones driving these changes together. That's what you get. When you make plans that bypass God. And here's the problem. The Creator being left out is the factor by which everything hangs on. The great writer E. Stanley Jones said it this way: the universe does not make sense without God. Your life does not make sense without, forget the universe. Some of you can't see past yourself this morning. You can't see past Gentile right now. Don't give me the universe. That boggles my mind right now. Okay, for each one, the universe does not make sense without God. My life does not make sense without God today. And here's what you need to know about this God. This God has been at work way before the in the beginning line. Got it? Way before the in the beginning situation, way before you breathed, he was working. He was already working on your story. Yeah, and I like Lynn when she sings, even when I can't see it, I believe it. Even when I can't, he is doing it. He is doing it over and over. I've come to encourage you today. You say, well, I don't think he's doing it. Well, look at your life. Look at your life. Maybe you haven't gotten, it's not been spectacular to get you here to this morning. But when you look at situations, you realize that there was these turns here and there that God had done. The boys used to play a video game where this little fella's walking and it looks like he's going to step off on something, but all of a sudden a step comes up on the other side and his step goes and it goes to a next one and it looks like he's falling. But the step, that our walk is like that sometimes, and it's not spectacular right now. We talked about Zacchaeus a couple times over the last month, a few months or so. I want to say something about the Zacchaeus situation. In fact, I even mentioned last week. Way before Zacchaeus even wanted to see Jesus, way before he even knew about Jesus, a tree was planted to meet his need. A tree had been planted way before Zacchaeus even knew who Jesus was. A tree had been planted way before Zacchaeus said, I need to get up at a good vantage point where I can see him, even when I can't see it, even when I can't feel it. This word is working. The universe does not make sense without God. You didn't breathe without God. You didn't get up. I've seen guys especially, I'm getting there. No, you don't. You're not running anything at all. One little bubble creeping up into your brain and they'll be feeding you oatmeal, you know, and you'll be dribbling on yourself. All it takes is a little bubble. You have no handle of that. In the meantime, take care of the temple you got. But at the same time, you have no say-so in that. I've seen people, well, I'm afraid. Linda was talking to somebody one day. She said, well, if it's your time, you'll go. Don't be afraid. If it's not your time, you're not going to go. Don't be afraid. God's got it all. God, the universe, your life does not make sense without God. Today I continue in Pivotal Kingdom Truths, the birth of a ministry. Chapter 4 of Luke is a pivotal chapter. We started last week before we went to Luke chapter for the last week. We were in Luke chapter 3 because what we had to set up the reason for chapter 4. And in one line, it was the victory of baptism. It was the anointing that was put upon Jesus. And it was followed by the agony of temptation there. That's the whole summary. But at the same time, it is there for us to see, knowing that the truth also applies to us. The only thing I'm going to read that I read from last week are two verses. Two verses right here. Chapter 4, verse 13 and 15. You can follow along. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, you remember the three things. I don't have time for it right now. Go listen to it. Go back and listen to it. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, well, that's great. He's all done. No, not really. It said he left him until the next opportunity came. So some of you get your little prayer victory and you get your little need met and you're all happy and you're singing and the flowers are going, like Linda was talking about the songs and the flowers and the sun shining and everything. And those are good. We need days like that. If we don't have days like that, you go out of your mind. But those are God's little gifts on the side right now. And here's what it says. He left him. I wrote it in all caps, until the next opportunity came. Again, we read this not as a history lesson, but we read it understanding what the schemes of the devil will be against our lives. If he did it against Jesus, he's going to do it against you. Always with Jesus and with us, he's waiting for the next opportune time. I'll read two other verses that I read last week. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. You cannot function without the Holy Spirit in your life. You got it? You don't function. And reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. As I said last week, before verse 14 is actually written, many feel that there was approximately at least one full year where Jesus was off the scene. I mean, he was around, but the thing was still germinating. And this thing was still working. His time was not total quite yet. And verse 15, it's probably, like I said, about a year after his baptism, you see now what I call the birth of the ministry. Verse 15, he taught regularly in their synagogues. Regular is an important thing, not now. But was praised by everyone. Wow, what a great start. What a great start. He was praised by everyone. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? Luke gives the account here in chapter 4, but in chapter 6 of Luke, Jesus said it this way: woe to you when all the people speak well of you and praise you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. That is the amplified version of Luke 6:26. Woe to you. So now he begins his public ministry. And we come up in chapter 4, verse 16. Now we pick up. When he came to the village of Nazareth, familiar surroundings. He knew where all the landmarks. Everything looks familiar. It says, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, the King James Version right here says, where he had been brought up. I'm going to tell you right off now. When it's time to unveil your ministry in something new, and you feel that something radical is being, it's the hardest thing to do it in front of the folk you know. I got to tell you what, as a singer, as a kid, it was easy for me to go in a place I did not know anybody because I could just go home. But boy, when you got people in front of you, you got people they're looking at you, they're laughing at you, they're waving at you, all kind of crazy stuff. And they keep you, when you feel that something is stirring, they want to keep you in that role. More about that just a little bit later. And he went on as usual. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. He went on as usual. That tells me he was faithful in the worship. He was faithful in attendance to the synagogue. He even modeled faithfulness for us. Does Jesus need the gathering? No. But he did it as a model. It's not a history lesson. It is a template for our lives right now. He went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read the scriptures. Now, tradition held that one of the members or a visitor who had been judged worthy would be asked, "Brother so-and-so, come in." It would be someone that I know knows the word. Someone that I know is familiar with the word. Paul would walk in, and I know Paul's testimony or Paul's history there. Brother Paul, come and read this scripture down here right now, if you would. Brother Mike, you're grounded. Mike, come down and read the word. And it said he was called to read and comment. So he goes to the scroll of Isaiah. How many of you know, right? Elbow yourself. That's a good start. He knew where he was because he was talking covenant to people. He was getting ready to build the bridge with what the prophets had said, with the reality of what they were getting ready to see right in front of their eyes. It said the scroll of Isaiah, he picked it up and the prophet handed it to him. He unrolled the scroll and he found the place. First off, it's a pretty big scroll, no doubt. But he knew right where it was. How many of you have a Bible? I've had one or two. I lost some of the my favorite ones in the storm, but I've got a few that I'm working on over the last few years. How many of you have a Bible and it's marked in a certain way and you can almost in your mind see some of the passages there? I can look at some of those. I have a Bible that it's a New King James Bible. I won't go into where I got it and stuff like that. But that was the new King, that one translation that I had, and also from where I got it. That is the Bible that I had. And when we came back from the storm, and they were even still living in San Antonio, Texas, and I began to study that word, and I had two levels of a word coming back. When I started, I went through this entire thing of the story that I felt to deal with. It was very strong in that Bible. And I can open that Bible right now. I did it the other day. I can open it up and I can go to some of those areas and I can almost know exactly what I was feeling at a moment like that, because I said to myself, he was so familiar, he just opened it to the spot. You think that's an accident? No, God picked the passage. Here's what he said. The Spirit of the Lord, even Jesus needed this enabling, is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. It's pretty strong. It's pretty strong. However, when I was reading this, I bet I read this passage in not only in Isaiah, the Isaiah passage, but the Luke passage. I read it probably in about 10 different translations. There is one line that does not appear in some of the translations. Now, some of these translations are not literal translations, of course, and it's the feel that they're trying to create for us. That's why it's good to see a broad thing. But I noticed when I read the New Living right here, there was a line missing. There was a line missing. In fact, I noticed the NIV didn't have it. I think the Message did not have it. One line was missing. Let me read it and see if you can find. Now, I'm going to read it in what it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, and King James, and also the Geneva translation, which is a real good one too. Watch it. I'm going to read it and see if you notice any difference of a line that's not in there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Did anybody catch a line there? I'll give it to you right now to save you. We're not playing a game here. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to heal. Now, some commentaries, well, it was inferred that what he was going to do when you look at the bruised and the things like that. However, I do like the separation of it. You know, sin breaks a heart. Sin breaks a heart. Circumstance breaks a heart there. And I love that line there, and I wish it would have been included in this translation, to heal the brokenhearted. And I love, and also too, he talked, New Living says the Lord's favor. I like the word liberty. What is the liberty to them that are bruised? Liberate it from the sting of it. There are super athletes, incredible athletes. Their arms are not, their foot is not broken. Their arm is not broken. They've not torn any muscles, but he's out for 3 weeks. Why? He has a bruise on his foot. And that is a sore, and you put your weight on it and it all comes back to you. And he is set at liberty, or those who are even the memory of the bruising. The New King James says to the oppressed. The Amplified says those who have been crushed by tragedy. The Message Bible says those who are burdened and battered. He's come to set us at liberty. Back to the New Living, verse 20. So he rolled up the scroll. Now, you got to know he spent some time on this when he delivered the payload. And I think he took his time. I read it kind of quick. I think he stopped at each phrase. I think he looked around. He rolled up the scroll. Boy, you talk about one of those silence things. That's what you call. This is a point when the silence was deafening. You know what I mean? Have you ever, you know, a deafening silence? We've all experienced those things. And it walked back, and he handed it back to the head guy. And then he sat down. And I really like this. And all the eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. One of the old translations, every eye was fixed on him. I like that. That's a southern word, fixed. And as he was seated, he breaks the silence. What did I call this passage, this episode? The birth of a ministry. And he lifts his head up and he says, the scripture that you have just heard, the scripture you have just heard, can't get any more plain than that. We interrupt this program to announce. We interrupt the procedure of regular religion to say the scripture that you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. I am he. This is me. Remember when we read a few weeks ago, the little woman that was at the well there? He said, if you knew, that's me. See, the passage was quite familiar to them. Where did it actually come from? You see, all of the accounts in chapters 3 and chapter 4 are undergirded with New Testament promise and New Testament prophecy. Last week, when we did the story of the baptism, and John began to speak the prophetic word, he quoted from Isaiah chapter 40. You remember I had Linda come up and read Isaiah chapter 40. So we're still in Isaiah. And you say, when Jesus stood up and it said he took the word from Isaiah and he began to read, where did he get it? I'm going to read it. Fasten your seatbelt. You won't see it up there. I want you to pay attention. Isaiah 61, verse 1. This is really, really good news to the people of God. The people are oppressed. There's an oppression not only in the natural, but in their hearts and in their spirits. By the way, the importance, you know, people talk about music and songs. And you've noticed that I have quoted songs today. Linda has quoted songs. She has quoted songs today. This is God wired us that way. That can be, I'm going to read Isaiah 61. I'm going to read 9 verses to you. And you're probably going to remember 2 or 3 songs, maybe from when you first got saved, or maybe when you were a little kid there. And you say, I wonder where that came from. That's the same. I wonder why it came, where it came from when Jesus read it right now. It opens up. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is now upon me. You remember, you heard that years ago. For the Lord has anointed me. Now, some of you, God saved you. God has touched you. You've honored him in baptism. The Spirit of God fulfills your life right now. It's not just for you to feel good until the horn blows. It's not just for you until the bus picks you up and takes you to heaven. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he is anointed. Now, there is a reason why he anointed. Watch this. And I'm going to punch a couple words there. And there is a reason. There is a reason. Number one, to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to those who mourn at the time of the Lord's favor is come, and with it the day of God's anger will come against the enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes. Da, 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 da. Beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, a festive praise of despair in their righteous instead of the garment of heaviness. She sang that as a little kid, most likely. And they will be like trees, great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. Verse 4, they will rebuild the ancient ruins. In other words, he gave it to us to do something. He didn't just bless us to give us a bless me club. He says, they will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing the cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them. By the way, I'm going to do a message in a few weeks on these words. Rebuild, repair, revive. And then, like the shampoo jar, repeat. They will revive them. They've been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servant, and they will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. And you will be called the priest of the Lord, the ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Do you see the parameters of the tentacles that is reaching down to a deeper truth than just what he was reading? They knew every bit of that. They were connecting the dots. They just didn't have the Spirit of the Lord to really have the decoder ring to understand what he was saying. They knew the dots were all connected there because they knew, they memorized most of this. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches instead of shame and dishonor. You know, the powers of hell wants to keep you in shame and dishonor. You'll enjoy double share of honor. You'll possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and an everlasting joy shall be upon your head. And then Isaiah 51 went, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Another song. Your history is wrapped in what Jesus read. Verse 8. For I, the Lord, I love justice. I hate robbery. I hate wrongdoing. I'll faithfully reward my people for their suffering. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize that they are the people that the Lord has blessed. David knew that line right there. The children of Israel knew that line. Do you remember that when it said, then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them? Here's where we are today in the picture, just like today. They loved it when Jesus spoke. Do you remember when I read before and there was great excitement spread about his ministry and he was doing all these good things and there was an excitement? Remember when I read that and I said, beware when people start speaking well of you? They loved it when he spoke. He was good. He was good. They loved it when he talked. They loved it when he made them feel good. But when he placed himself in the middle of it, .. they weren't ready for it. That's like today. Today, people will talk about God. We'll talk about over there. We'll talk about the man upstairs. We'll talk about, I'm just believing for good things. Like the little boy said, I'm believing for some good luck with my prayers, he said. They'll talk about the man upstairs. They'll say all those words. They will love the stories that you tell of doing good. They'll publicize your doing good stories. They'll love the stories how you help the poor folk. And you should. But Jesus said, you're always going to have that to deal with. So don't even get out of whack in that. They love the stories of helping people. They love the stories of love. They love the story of kindness. They love the stories of forgiveness. But, what was the problem? Because at this point, it's all changing from the feel good, and it is changing from the history lesson to when a decision must be made. Now that's revolutionary, guys. Hundreds and hundreds of years, 800 years after what Isaiah had likely written here. It's like, oh wow. And the reality of that, somebody was talking to me about something somebody was going through, then it was kind of an emergency situation. And the person made this statement to me, said, I wasn't quite ready for this. Anybody ever have those I wasn't quite ready moments? This is what you got here. He could say all those good things if he'd have just sat down. Joy being with y'all today. God bless all of you. But he had to take that extra step. He had to say that, that last line to it. He had to take that step. Just like to tell you right now, that's fulfilled in your midst. They weren't ready for that. We've got to make a decision of what we're going to walk in and what we're going to believe in. The great Tony Evans said it this way. God is who he is. He's not who you want him to be. Thank you. Good night. Drive safe. God is who he is. He's not who you want him to be. You know, and I've seen people get disillusioned because they kept saying, I pronounce it, I said it over and over, and it still happened there. And I'm just, that means that your serving of God was a conditional thing, that he tap danced at the right time. He's not an organ grinder's monkey that dances when the music comes for us. He's not an errand boy. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He does all things well. But they were at a point. This is the jump-off point. The birth of this ministry was their jump-off point. They're still trying, though. They're still trying. They're still smiling. They're still swallowing it a little bit. They're kind of uncomfortably looking at one another. And then what they do, they try to look at it and they try to discount it a little bit to put a little carnality. And verse 22, so everyone spoke well of him and they were amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't that, that's a stained glass sentence there, isn't it? And in a spirit of skepticism, how can this be? We've seen him forever. I knew him when. I can tell you some stories about that. I've grown up under that microscope. I've grown up under that, and it's very difficult at times to do it. And you move in certain things. I knew you when, and people just love that. There's some people that are still on this planet breathing right now, and I may not see them for 30 years, but the first thing, they'll tell me something. I remember you did something when you were 5 years old. And they just love to tell these stories, you know. And I was a criminal at five. I understand that. But they will always try to keep you in the little boy thing. And you be careful. You be careful when God is birthing something in you. Don't be afraid or ashamed. Somebody who doesn't quite want to beat the drum with you right there, they will go in the area similar to the Nehemiah encounter where they'll kind of demean it a little bit. They'll kind of make fun of it. With it. You know, this is it. Well, okay. Or somebody, I've been saved 50 years. You'll get over it. Yeah, that's the problem. You got over it, right? You know. And here's what they said. There was a skepticism is in their hearts. At the same time, because that's what came out of their mouth. And they said, well, isn't this Joseph's son? Again, they didn't get it. Remember when the girl at the well said, well, how are you going to do this with these armies? She still didn't get the thing happening yet. You remember the ride into Jerusalem? Where's the army? They still didn't get it yet. You understand? And that this is right. I mean, there's a lot here in this chapter. It's strong, isn't it? And isn't this Joseph's son? And here's what I wrote to say you. Beware of folks who will always try to break you down to a different level. And that level is usually under them. That level is usually under them. Religious people are good with that. They'll click their tongue, roll their eyes, and quote a Bible verse out of context. But Jesus was already 1,000 moves ahead of them. You got it? Jesus was 1,000 moves, and he said, I know what you're going to do now. You're probably going to undoubtedly quote me this proverb, physician, heal yourself, meaning you do miracles here in your hometown like those you did in Capernaum. It's like the lyric of the Broadway play in Superstar. And in the derision, Herod looks at Jesus, and he says, prove to me that you're divine, turn my water into wine. He's not there to do tricks. But there was a demeaning thing that went on there at that time. They're demeaning him. He said, but I tell you the truth. Stop right there. I am going to say something to you. When you're listening to a lot of folk today, and they say to me, I'm telling you the truth. Danger, Will Robinson. Don't buy it. That's the giveaway. I'm telling you the truth. But when Jesus said, I'm telling you the truth, he really is telling the truth. You can trust his word. Here's what he said. And I understand this. He said, and no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. There'll always be people. Everybody's got to start somewhere. But it's tough. It's tough there. So watch what happens here. Watch what happens. Just like in our world today. Watch what happens when you hear a word you don't want to hear, and when you hear a word you're certainly not ready for. Again, he is ahead of them. And he's taking them out. Boom, boom, boom. He said, certainly there are many needy widows. Jesus said in Matthew 26, the poor you will have with you always. It will always be. You will never live in a society to do that because there's so many other things that there, and government will not legislate it. Even a church can't legislate it. You got to preach the heart change there. And there are people that need assistance. And we always do, as I said a few weeks ago, we will always do those things, but there will always be a need there right now. Jesus said that. Now watch what he does. He does something really unusual, and I'm going to read it first, and then I'm going to tell you what he did. He said, certainly there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years, there was a severe famine that devastated the land. Now, how many people were involved in the famine? All of them. How many were sitting under the bad 3.5 years? All of them. It said here, he said, but yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. Instead, he was sent, Jesus just decided to go the whole 9 yards, he said. But instead, he was sent to a foreigner. She was a Gentile, okay? A widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. And he goes to another story. And many in Israel had leprosy in the time of the prophet Elisha. But only one healed was Naaman, another foreigner. I mean, they've hit the wall. I mean, they were going 90 miles an hour. They were happy. They were skipping into church and everything. And all of a sudden, he's upset their apple cart right here in the synagogue. And they're not even out yet. He's not even finished yet. What did Jesus do? Jesus gave two examples where the prophets of God stepped over those who thought they were entitled because of their place of birth and because of their traditions. And he touched them. Letting us to know he goes to ones who are reaching with a heart toward him. They weren't ready to hear somebody stepping over their traditions. And what he does, he reaches in. A bunch of them were sick, but Elisha was only sent to one. This lady was in trouble. Elijah was only sent to one. So this was the last straw. This was too much for them to take in on one day. He should have broken this up over 2 Sundays. Maybe 3 Sundays. Maybe he should have taught it a little bit. It's just a little too much. He's just force feeding these poor people in the synagogue. He's giving what you've been reading all these years. It's here today, right now. And I know what you're going to say right now. You want me to do something here, but the prophet is not without honor. It's without honor where he lives. And by the way, you want to know what God does right now? The two prophets that you revere the most, where they did ministries, a whole bunch of other people had needs, but God sent them to the one that was crying out to them. Isn't that cool? Isn't that way cool? This was too much for one day. And they were really excited to hear this. What a blessing this was. What a blessing this was. What a blessing this was. He's looking over at his wife. And he said, this is new. Can you imagine what happened at that moment? Can you imagine what that was? It's one thing to hear about something, but when you see it, when you hear it, your response to it will decide the condition of your heart. And your heart will decide the way you respond to it. It's a back and forth thing. He said this to them. He's shaking them up. The ministry has been birthed. And they were all excited. No, verse 28. You know, remember verse 32? He's such a fine boy. He speaks well, doesn't he? They're in verse 22. 6 verses later, when they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. That's Linda's word. And by the way, the devil does not fight fair. The devil, he will go after you all the time. Remember, he came to the opportune time. The devil will never fight fair. If he did it to Jesus, he's going to do it to you. Don't get all excited and all whacked out of shape when something comes after you. Because here's Jesus right here. He's doing all the good he can do. Speaking of fighting fair, we're in the car yesterday. I was the driver yesterday. There were some rounds there. I don't need the God is my co-pilot bumper sticker. I hadn't got out the subdivision. Go this way. Well, that's where that store is. I was kind of snappy, you know, whatever. And I'm merging on the, and there's 2 lanes to get on the interstate. I went, next you get in the other one, you'll get there faster. Okay. And if we hadn't got very far down the road, And finally I start going, she said, hurry up, merge in that side over there. I said, will you stop? She looked over at me and she went, you are so cute. She said, and I was waiting for something else. That's what these people were waiting for. I was ready to throw down right there. You just stop telling me how to drive. I don't need this. I know how to get there. I drove before I drove 6 years before you rode in my car the first time. And she looks over and says, you know, you're just so cute. And, you know, you still got what you want to say. But you're thinking, I don't want to mess this moment up either at the same time. You ever have that? And I said, you just don't fight fair, do you? So later on in the afternoon, I did something. I forgot what it was, and I heard a little something. Do you have to be here right now in this kitchen right here behind me like this? And I said, I thought I was cute. She said, not now. Fight fair. These guys, they weren't ready for this. They weren't ready for this at all. They were furious. They jumped up. They mobbed him. I love that word. They made a rush at him. They forced him. And you know what? They're in the synagogue. So it says, you got to understand, time passed from the time it said they jumped up and they mobbed him. Time passes for a little while. It could have been 30 seconds. It could have been a minute. What? They grabbed him and they're all behind him. And it was one of those, have you ever seen those TV shows where they're all behind the one guy and he's moving like this? And they're walking him. And it says they took him to the edge of the cliff. Now, I got to tell you something. That you know, they took him to the edge of the cliff with the town. They might have walked a block or so. But they're moving him kind of fast here. And don't you know that some of Jesus' friends, oh, he's gone and done it now. They intended to push him over the cliff. What Jesus said was true. What Jesus said was right. What Jesus said, the prophet had confirmed it. What Jesus had said talked about the mission that God had put him on to come to save us from sin. What Jesus had said to them was the truth, not for just then, but for today. But they were not ready and willing to receive that truth. One of the lessons for me and you right now, make sure your heart is soft enough to the word. Make your heart soft enough to the worship. We all have lives. We all have busy things to do. And things are going to come at each of us, but make sure our heart is always the heart that goes back to the moorings of what the word says. And we hold on to that. And we see a miracle take place. Don't know exactly how it happened. But right while it's going on, he just passed right through the crowd. Hey, I thought you had him. Where is he? He's gone. I think the Father, it ain't time yet. Not only did he pass through the crowd, he said he just went on his way. So don't be upset when somebody's yelling at you. You're going to go on your way. Be encouraged in the word. Now, what happens now? What happens? You'll find out next week. Next week, you're going to find out. And the question is, what about people? What about Christians who only hear what they want to hear? And next week, we're even going to cast out some demons. And believe it or not, we're going to heal a mother-in-law next week. Stand up.